SBS live streams and podcasts are supported by advertising.
SBS is Australia's most trusted multilingual broadcaster. Our listeners are loyal, highly engaged, and have supported countless local businesses. We offer advertising packages for businesses of all sizes. Our experienced sales team will guide you through the process of owning a great campaign. Bring your own ad or have our production team make you something in one of our 68 languages. Start the conversation with your new audience today. Email sales@sbs.com.au.
You're listening to SBS News.
So Naomi, you've just come back from the Paris Olympics. How does it feel to be back in Australia as a gold medalist?
It's pretty surreal. It's kind of slowly hitting me. I think when we arrived in the Qantas hangar and all walked out of the plane, that was a moment where it was just so special to experience that with all the other Olympians as well. And to see, I guess, everyone just waiting for us and feel the support that we received from Australia was amazing, because we had been in a bit of a bubble in Paris and quite isolated from all of that. So yeah, it's incredible to be home. I mean, I left Australia in May 2024 before my qualifying race, not knowing if I was going to the Olympics, and just, you know, with the dream of becoming an Olympian. And so to have stayed so process driven and, you know, ticked off each step and then come home with a gold medal is just, yeah, it's the most incredible feeling ever.
You've competed internationally for, you know, a decade. Did you ever feel that, you know, you weren't going to get there? And
yeah, I think at times there were moments where I thought, because, you know, there's just one person that gets the spot for our country in the event, and that's always been Jess, and she's at the top of her game and she's unbeatable, whereas for some people they just have to beat world ranking 20 or world ranking 50 as well, and so that's a little bit easier in that sense. But I think, you know, you always have to keep that dream alive, and if you believe in yourself, it's so important to keep dreaming and be relentless in the pursuit of your goals, and tell yourself that you will get there eventually. And for me, that opening for Paris, where there was an extra discipline and an extra spot available for an additional Australian, we fully seized that opportunity, gave it everything, put all the eggs in one basket, and we thought, well, at least we won't have any sort of regrets in the fact that you finally chased your dream and had an opening. So yeah, definitely there's times when you think, oh, well, all my family will be Olympians and I just will be the odd one out or the ugly duckling, you know. But I don't know, I think deep down I just really trusted the process and knew that, you know, I love what I do. I love my sport. And if the Olympics come and there's an opportunity, we'll seize it. If there's none, then, you know, there's a lot of world number ones in our sport that have never been to the Olympics. In fact, two this year were world number ones and weren't qualified for the Olympics because it was world number two of that same country that went. So yeah, it's a rough and hard sport.
So I guess in that case, then, if you hadn't qualified for the Olympics, do you think you would have just kept going with your sport?
Definitely. My sport is very much a passion sport. I think compared to many other sports that are quite strenuous and hard, obviously ours is too, but there's something more than just the results. I think for me, it's, you know, it's in my blood. It's a love for the river. It's a love for the places it takes me. The feeling of when you put down a run that is at your level, and it's kind of those tiny moments that keep you going and keep you kind of in the sport, even if you mainly face bad results or you mainly get knocked down, and you kind of just keep doing it because you've felt that win before and you want to feel it again and you love what you do. And I'm very lucky in that sense. But the Olympics for me opened up this whole different way of training, this whole new passion, this whole new, you know, drive and dreams that I'd never really experienced before. So I'm really grateful that, you know, that window came when it did and that we fully committed and seized the chance to qualify, even though on paper it was extremely hard to do so and quite hard to sell to everyone before leaving. Like, everyone was like, oh, you'll be fine. And you're like, okay, well, it's actually really hard to qualify. But yeah, I think it was a testament to, you know, the grit, the dream, and there's going to be three people that qualify and I'm not letting my spot go easily. And it was the same for the games. I knew there was three people that were going to be on the podium, and I was like, I'm not letting this go easily. So,
Watching the event, it does look very dramatic. I mean, you're coming down, being released from this, I don't even know what it's called, and you go down the ramp. What is it like being up there? You know, you have that moment of pause. What are you thinking about?
I think, it's different to, say, the slalom. When you're on the ramp, it's 5 meters high. So we are used to it. There was definitely a feeling of when I first went on that Paris ramp back in October last year for the test event, there was a feeling of, oh, this is quite high. and, you know, I held up the queue a little bit as I got kind of used to the height, but then it was like a wet and wild ride at the end. You know, you just keep going back for more. And the ramp is definitely my favorite part of the event because it kind of just sets the tone, and you just go down and you're you know, explosive out of the start gates, and then you keep that momentum straight down the course. So it's incredible to start the race like that, and my tactic was just to stay out in front and try lead the whole way, or even if I came second or fourth out of the ramp, it was knowing that there were opportunities to overtake. But yeah, kind of being really alert, but also in your own race, even though there are three other people next to you.
You mentioned before, you know, obviously you have this rivalry with your sister. Like, what is it like having someone so competitive in your own family? What is she like as a competitor, and how does that affect your relationship?
It's funny that you say someone's so competitive, because on the water she's, you know, very competitive, but for me in person, she's not at all competitive. She's so supportive. And I think when there was the opening for me to go to the Olympics, she wasn't eligible to compete in that race. So she fully supported me. She was my sparring partner, and we really helped each other, you know, grow as competitors. And we are, at the end of the day, on the same, you know, start list competing against each other. But as training partners, for me, being able to train with the best in the world in slalom, and now for her to be able to train with me in kayak cross, we both get so much out of it. And I think for kayak cross, what really helped me was knowing that at the end of the day, when we practice, and it can be quite aggressive, it can be quite hard, but because she's my sister, she's always going to forgive me. So, you know, we had that sort of a lot of battles and argy-barginess, but it was amazing to be able to have her as a training partner, because it just removed that element of like, oh, are they going to think I'm too aggressive? Are they not going to want to train with me ever again? So that was really incredible to have in Paris and to help each other there. And then obviously to end up in the same heat so early on was extremely tough, because I don't know, I just didn't want to face her that soon. It was something we wanted to do either in the final or, you know, later down the track, or if we were together to finish one and two, but that didn't happen. And when I went through, she was my first supporter and you know, was cheering me down the whole way. So, yeah, I think what we have is incredibly special. And obviously, there are moments where, you know, your competitive sides clash a little bit, but at the end of the day, what we've experienced has, you know, created such a beautiful bond, and the emotions, the highs and the lows, and it's really hard, I guess, for people to understand the Olympics and what you live and the emotions and the sacrifices, but to have a family that does understand that just makes the whole experience more magical, but a lot easier as well.
Given all this history then, like, how did it feel in the final to get over that line and know that you were a gold medal champion?
Yeah, it took a while to sink in. I think, you know, before the final, my coach was like, okay, you've made it, you've just got to enjoy it. And the crowd really was a huge buzz for me. And I didn't feel nervous. I just felt so ready to be there. And I told myself, okay, well, you've won every single race up until now. You've kept the red bib, you've kept the lane choice. So just do the same, keep it up. And I wasn't thinking ahead. I was just really in the moment, enjoying it really, which is a state of mind that I'm really proud of. And that's, I think, quite hard to achieve. And when I got out of the first up, you don't hear the crowd. It's like a buzz, this energy. But I was quite close to the bank where, you know, the teams run down, the spectators are on the other side. And I heard my mum scream, as you know, to say that I was out in front. And I felt that charge, and that was kind of a moment where it like pushed me forward. And then when I crossed the line, it was just a lot of emotions, and also kind of disbelief that, wow, I just, you know, did the race of my life. Every single race I was out in front. I kept my cool. I kept my composure. And the last bit before the finish line was very critical because Kimberly Woods from GB, she was tackling me down and she went to do a move on me. But I, yeah, snuck out just in front and really held my composure, which is something that you work on in training, but to execute in a race under pressure is quite hard. And that's, yeah, the first time that I've done that. So it paid off, yeah, at the right time. And then it wasn't until I saw the boys' final, I didn't realize they were going after us. I was so in my own world. And when I saw my friend cross the finish line first from New Zealand, that's when I kind of realized, wow, I did that too. We're both Olympic champions. So yeah, it was incredible emotions, incredible feelings. And to have, you know, your hard work pay off at the right time, it's just amazing.
So you had kind of like a delayed reaction, like,
I think so, yeah.
You know, there was a moment where, you know, your family jumped into the water and they were all crowding around you. Like, even then, did it sort of not hear?
I think it hits you in phases. Obviously, I knew that I had won, but it's a lot of adrenaline. And then they were there and I was sharing and it was, you know, lots of tears. But then it kind of hits you on a next level. Wow, no, you've won the Olympic Games, like you're Olympic champion. And there's multiple phases that you go through. Then the medal ceremony, when you hear your name, that's an extra level of, wow, like you're Olympic champion. And it goes, like I said, it goes through phases. And even now when I pull out my medal and I share it with people, it still hits me. But I rewatched the race a couple of days ago and I just, I think I was in such a perfect mind frame, very process driven, not thinking about gold. I didn't go into the race thinking I'm going to win. You know, I went in thinking about each step because there's lots of steps and races you have to get through to get to that final one. And that's, I think, something that I'm most proud of.
And like, how long have you been like wanting to be an Olympic champion, do you think?
I mean, I think Olympian above everything, ever since I can remember. I think, you know, both my parents are Olympians, so I naturally thought I'd be an Olympian. And then I realized, oh, it's much harder than I thought. And I was lucky to constantly be around Olympians and the Olympic spirit and you know, growing up in the Sydney 2000 aftermath with Ian Thorpe, Susie O'Neill as like my idols, and then the 2004 Welcome Home ceremony, 2008 watching it on TV, 2012 in the stands for my sister, 2016 as well, and then 2020 in the workforce commentating. So I always was involved in the Olympics. It's in the blood. It's, you know, I think there's nothing that can make you feel emotions as high and as intensely as the Olympic Games and sport. And so, always wanted to be an Olympian. Olympic champion, it's like, I think it's something that I never dared to dream about. I was like, not settling for less, but I thought, you know what, the Olympics would be great. And then who knows what I'm capable of achieving. And I'm really kind of glad I had that mind frame, you know, not going in being like, yeah, I'm going to win and getting ahead of myself, because at the end of the day, anything can happen at the Olympics. There's so much pressure. There's crowds, there's media, there's, you know, waking up on the day and being ready to go. It's quite hard to time that perfectly in a 4-year cycle. So it was not lowering my standards, but, you know, dreaming of the Olympics and then dreaming of being so ready to go out there and show the world what I'm capable of now that there's finally that window of opportunity.
Do you think it lived up to the hype?
I was not prepared for what Paris was going to be. Like, I think nothing could ever prepare anyone for Paris. It was beyond any sort of imaginable feeling and experience. I just don't know how I'm ever gonna come down from that and recover. It was just, for me, pure magic, partly because obviously I'm half French, and so there's that really big tie there, but also I love Paris. I've always loved Paris. I've always seen the magic in it. And when people say, oh, I hate that city, I always say, well, it's because you don't know it well enough and you don't know where to go and what to see. But there was that about Paris, and then there was the fact that, you know, it was kind of the first Olympics that had full crowds that really embraced it in such a long period of time. And there was just magic everywhere. The opening ceremony, I let myself fully immerse myself into the Olympic movement and, live the highs of when people won and then the lows of when a favorite was knocked out. And my goal was to not emotionally drain myself in the first week of competition, because I was the second week and I definitely emotionally drained myself. But, you know, I was living and breathing the magic that is the Olympics, and I really think that helps me for my race and when it came to my run. And yeah, I just don't know how anything can live up to what Paris was, to walk away with a gold medal at my first Olympics in France, and then obviously to live so many intense family moments, watch my sister win 2 gold medals, and then my friends as well win medals, and then just, you know, the opening closing ceremony was just pure magic. Yeah.
Do you have a favorite moment?
Oh, obviously my own podium, I think. But after my own podium, it was walking out in Champions Park, which Paris 2024, they had an organized event where any medalist would walk down the runway with the Eiffel Tower right in front of them and 13,000 people in the crowd. And my friends were there. They waited in line. And we walked out with my sister and with the 2 other gold medalists from the sport. And I think that's a highlight because it had sunk in. I was wearing my medal. The Eiffel Tower was in front of us. And, you know, we had our own piece of the Eiffel Tower around our necks, and music was blasting, people were cheering, and they knew our names and they were asking for photos. And I think that will forever be, my main memory from Paris that I latch onto for the rest of my life.